looking at the Ten Commandments, the second commandment, which is stated in verse 3, 4, part of verse 5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then he proceeds to explain that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. That's the commandment. The next word we see is for, which gives us a motivation or reason to keep the commandment. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So we come to the motivation for keeping the second command. It begins with a personal relationship with the Lord. It begins with who God is. It says, for I, the Lord thy God. Thy God, of course, implies a connection to God, a relationship to the Lord. That by itself is a motivation. We see those words five times in the commandments, the prelude to the commandments in verse 2. He begins by reminding them, I am the Lord thy God. Before he mentions a single command, before he issues a single command, he reminds them, I am the Lord thy God. Then again, as we've already seen, we see he does the same thing in verse 5. In verse 7, we see the same thing. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. Why didn't he just say, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God? Because this is emphasizing further motivation. He is not only the Lord God, that's motivation enough, but he's the Lord thy God. He mentions it again in verse 10. And he mentions it again in verse 12. So this fact that he is our God, that's a motivation. That's a motivation to obey. That's a motivation to believe. It's a motivation to trust. It's a motivation to lean upon him, to depend upon him, to follow him, to draw from him. It's a motivation to be focused upon him. Again, when Joshua was exhorting Israel to stay the course in Joshua 24 and to be, or Joshua 23, and to be obedient and strong, he made 13 references. In that short speech, if you will, he made 13 references to the Lord your God. And the whole theme is to stay the course. And so he reminds them over and over and over again, the Lord. He's not just reminding them of the Lord, but the Lord, your God. The words, thy God, your God, our God, occur over 1,200 times in the Old Testament. So we see this constant reminder of a relationship with God. And he begins the ten, or before he speaks a single command, he brings that out. As he's giving the commands, he adds that in there every now and then. The Lord thy God. That should have an impact. That should have an impact upon us. Notice another motivation is the character. Well, another motivation is just the existence of God. For I, the Lord, just the existence of God should be motivation to obey the Ten Commandments and every other command as far as that goes. Then he goes on, he mentions the character of God. The Bible does not debate the existence of God. The Bible, from the very beginning, from the very first word of the Bible, in the beginning God, the Bible declares God, declares the existence of God. That should not be a question. But that leads to a question. God exists, but who is he? What is he? What is his character? And of course, that's revealed all through the scriptures. And he reveals that to us here in verse 5, "For I, the Lord thy God." And he says something that most, of course, do not give much thought to, and most would not think of God saying this. He says, "I'm a jealous God." He's talking about his character. He's talking about an attribute, a characteristic of himself. "You should not have any other gods before me, for I am a jealous God." That's a warning. And as you read on there in verse 5, it's very obvious that this is a warning. I mean, most of the world today would expect God to say, do these things, for I'm a loving God. And he is a loving God. But that's not what he says here. He says, "I am a jealous God." Now, we have to understand, jealousy, like anger, is not evil in itself. If it was, it can never be attributed to God. So if jealousy is attributed to God, it has to be pure. That is, there's nothing sinful about it. You and I, if we're jealous, there's usually sin involved. But he's a jealous God. Just like with his anger. It is a sinless anger. There are many verses in the Bible that declare God's jealousy. And that ought to concern us, especially when we read, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me." In that context, I am a jealous God. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." That speaks of anger. That speaks of wrath. And then it is added, "even a jealous God." Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 20. "The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy." So you see, the two are connected. "The anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven." In other words, destroy him. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 19, Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." Now that, of course, is further explained. But again, our point here today is he is a jealous God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and notice, and they provoked him to jealousy. That is, they provoked him to display the outward manifestation of his jealousy, because we already know he is a jealous God. And we see it's mentioned also in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 22. That God is a jealous God, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I believe it means that he is protective of his person. He is protective of his rights. He is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. And jealousy has the implication of protectiveness. Usually in man, it's for the wrong reasons. But God is protective of his person. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? I'm a jealous God. I protect my person. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? I'm a jealous God. I protect my rights. And again, we've said it 100 times, not really, but we've said it many times, that it's tiring to hear people talk about their rights all the time. God has rights, and God has exclusive right, and God is jealous of his rights. He's jealous of his deity. Notice in Psalm 78, verse 58 and verse 59, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. They broke the second command and the first, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. He is jealous of his sovereignty. In Ezekiel 39, and that's why we had better be careful who we give credit to. We give credit to man when credit belongs to God. Remember, God is jealous of his sovereignty. In Ezekiel 39, verse 25, therefore thus saith the Lord God, now I'll bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. That is, God will protect his name. He will protect his character. He will protect who he is. He's jealous of his glory. Notice in Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Why? Because he's jealous. He's jealous of his glory. So we better be careful who we give glory to. He's also jealous over his people. Notice in Exodus 34, and we'll close. Exodus 34 and verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous. His name is jealous. Is a jealous God. And he protects his people, and he's jealous of his people. He's jealous that his people would put something ahead of him. And therefore, we should not make unto us any graven images. So, two reasons stated so far and why, or to motivate us to obey this command, that is, God himself, relationship with God, and the very fact that God is jealous. Which leads into the next thing. He is a God of judgment, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. That's a warning. It's also a fact. But it serves as a warning. It serves as a motivation. And we'll look at that next week. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God. And we pray, Lord, today that you'd help us to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. We pray, Lord, that you draw us closer to thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.